Let's go to the word of the Lord this morning. I want to teach this lesson to you, and I got something the Lord shared with me. And truly, that's what the Lord does. He shares things with me, and I come back and share it with you. And so I want to talk to you this two times this morning. You'll get me twice next Sunday. I think I'll be doing Sunday school, and Brother Clary will be doing the morning worship. Exodus 2 and 11, then we'll go to Acts 7, 23 and 34. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. Did anything change in your life when you got grown? There's a lot of things that changed in my life. As Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, grown, I had to put away childish things. So Moses now is 40 years old, and he finally matured. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. All of a sudden, he's looking at them different. He looked at their burdens. He spied an Egyptian, spied a Hebrew, one of his brethren. I don't know if he had seen this before, but today was different. The same account is in Acts chapter 7, and we want to read just a couple verses there. I will go back and read more of this in its entirety later. But just to get my thought across to you, let's go to Acts 7, 23. And when he was a full 40 years old, he was grown. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Something came into his heart. Today is different. You remember the day Christ came into your heart? You remember the day the Spirit of the Lord came? It was different. From then on, it was different. Yesterday was like, what was I thinking yesterday? Something came into his heart to visit his brethren, and he sees them totally different. And Moses looked on the burden and the affliction of his people. And God said in verse 34, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. And I have heard their groaning and am gone down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. No need to send somebody who don't share your burden. No need for me to tell you my problems if you're not sympathetic to them. No need for me to talk to you about my heart if your heart's not with my heart. Moses went down and saw his brethren, the burdens of his brethren, and the Lord saw that he saw. And he said, you, now I can use you. I want to preach for a little while this morning, teach about this subject, into and out of the heart. Into what goes into and out of your heart. Lord, I come before you this morning asking for guidance as we bring the word of the Lord that will change somebody's life. This morning, I believe that we can walk out of here different in a better way than we ever have before if we'll listen to the word of the Lord and take it to heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Whatever goes into your heart will come out of your heart sooner or later. It's a matter of time. Samson was born into a Nazarite vow. Right, Brother Valentine? He didn't one day say, hey, I think I want to be a Nazarite. He was born into it. His mother was not to drink any strong drink, not touch it. Almost the same thing as he was. He was just born into this thing. I was born into this thing we call Pentecost. That didn't mean it was in my heart. I was just born into it. And so we find Samson was a man that was just born into it. But it wasn't in his heart. It wasn't in his heart. And we find out later what was really in Samson's heart. For the first thing we know about him loving anything was a woman of the Philistines. And now we'll find out what's really in Samson's heart while he's on Delilah's lap. What was really in his heart comes out on her lap. And she said, he has told me all of his heart. This one time, come and get him. So whatever secretly goes into your heart will come out manifested as the contents of your heart. How you treat people, how you act, and how you react to situations. A lot of times it's not how you act, it's how you react. For out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the overflow of a man's heart, his mouth will go to talking. And so many times we speak with our heart. And when we're talking about the heart, we're speaking of the spiritual center of a man. Center, the most inner being of a person, the most inner thought, the really the most inner feeling. Sometimes what you say isn't your heart until finally your heart is manifested. A lot of times people can hide it, but you can't hide it forever. We find in Mark 7 and 18, and he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? You know, the squabble was, well, can I eat this? Pork, can I eat this? He says, y'all are missing it. It's not what goes in the mouth of a man, because it entereth not into his heart, into his spirit, but into the belly, and goeth out as the draught, and purging all meats. That what goes in comes out. You're missing it. Do you not understand? And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man, meaning his heart. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. These are acts that come out of the thoughts, the innermost thoughts of a person. And all these evil things come from within and defile a man. My question is, how did they get in? How did that get in there? I preached a sermon one time many, many years ago. I don't even think I preached it here, called The Danger of Inquiring. I just wanted to see. That's what Eve did. Look what happened to her. And sometimes when you inquire something, you open the door to the possibilities. It could be drugs. It could be lust. It could be all kinds of things. Once you open the door, it is very difficult to shut. I told someone one day, I know for sure I will never become an alcoholic. He said, how can you be sure? I said, I'll never take a drink. I believe in teetotalism, if you know what that is. That means complete abstinence. That's the only way. You open the door just a little bit, and all I drink's a little, and then a little bit, and before long, you're gone. Whatever enters into a man's heart will eventually come out of his heart, and you are the gatekeeper, my brothers and sisters, of your heart. You are the one that lets into your heart what comes in, but listen close. You control what comes in, but you don't control what goes out. You can control what comes in, but once it gets in, you will lose a control of what goes out of a man's heart. I don't mean this in a crude way, but you can't eat without doing the other two. And when we let God into our heart, the Bible says he wants to come through your heart. I stand at the door and I knock. If any man would open the door of his heart, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. We'll have good communion together. I will be in you and you will be in me. Just open the door of your heart and let me in. Oh, my God. Everything comes through the door of your heart, what you let in. Even when you look at the life of Cain and Abel, Abel offered this acceptable sacrifice to God, and Cain's was not. And the Lord told him, if you offer a good sacrifice, you'll be accepted. But if not, sin lies where? At the door. It's knocking on your door, let me in, let me in. And Cain refused to offer the right sacrifice, slew his brother, and became a fugitive and a vagabond within the earth. When you let, whatever you let in your heart, the results are automatic. If you let God into your heart, I promise you, you'll have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You'll have all the fruit of the Spirit because that's what's in your heart. But if you let the evil one in, you will have automatically the works of the flesh. Evil thoughts, evil doings. It's automatic. You control what goes in, but you can't control what goes out. The Bible says in one place, Jesus said, you'll know them by what? The fruit that they bear. So, oh, you judging me. No, I'm looking. I know an orange tree when I see one. Now, I may not know it until it bears oranges, and then I'll call it an orange tree. I may not know it till it bears persimmons, and then I'll call it a persimmon tree. The Bible talks about Satan entering into Judas Iscariot. It's interesting that the Lord chose him to carry the purse. Why? Because that scripture may be fulfilled. He selected this man intentionally because he loved money, knowing that he would open the door for Satan sooner or later, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He was betrayed by one he numbered. John 13:1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto his Father, having loved his own which were in this world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas, he opened the door. The devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's brother, to betray him. I don't think he was thinking about it, Brother Weaver, all along. He waited to the most opportune moment to say, this is my time. And he was open to it. Wonder what it's worth. Wonder what they would pay. We're not going to have a kingdom anyway like I thought we was. And after the sop, you know the story, I won't belabor that point. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Sad. One of the 12. He said, have I not chosen 12 of you, and one of you is the devil? If you're not careful, my brothers and sisters, you'll open the door, and before you know it, Satan has entered in. There's been many a time someone opened the door and say, who is it? And someone got their foot between the door and the threshold. That's it. They're in. They're in. That little chain you got is not going to work. And Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Let's get this over with. Mine hour has come. And we know that Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Later realizing, I have betrayed innocent blood. He came to himself and tried to undo what he did. But let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's difficult. Only Christ can undo what the devil does. But still, a man reaps what he sows. So be careful this morning what goes into your heart, into your thought process, and into your mind, and what you dwell on. Your heart is a space that only can occupy one inhabitant at a time. We got all these people now, they're multitasking, but probably not good at any of them. Now me, I got to concentrate on one thing. When I study for this, I study for this. It's difficult to concentrate on more than one thing. And the Lord lets us know that he will only live in a one-room chamber. Your heart, we know, has four chambers, but your real heart, your spiritual heart, has one chamber. And the Lord said, it's either me or him, but we're not living together. We're at enmity. We're at odds with each other. It's not a duplex. It's not a sharing of rooms. It's not a roommate that you got when you need one. This is when God moves in, everything else must move out. And if anything else moves in, God moves out. Hallelujah. The Bible says there is one body, there is one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's not room for two of anything. Well, I believe it this way and you believe it that way. They ain't but one belief. There's one faith. A faith is a set of beliefs. There's not but one. God is looking this morning, just like Satan is. He's looking for men and women that let him into their heart. Now, the reason I chose Moses is there's a profound reason why I chose Moses in this sermon. And I was, as I was reading this last night, I had to flip back and forth to Acts and to Exodus because I began to realize that something happened to Moses at 40 years old that had not happened for the whole 40 years. He was, as you know, an infant that was in an ark and found in the bulrushes and raised in Pharaoh's home. But you know, we don't hear anything about him for 40 years. Did you ever know that? I didn't really think about it. We don't know anything about it. It's like Christ. We knew only one thing at 12 years old. After that, we didn't know anything about him for 33 years or 30 years. But Moses, something happened to him. The Bible says, and it entered into his heart to look upon the burdens. He could have done that when he was 39 or 38 or 37. But it never entered into his heart like it did this time. The burden hit him. I didn't catch that. Their burden hit him. And let me tell you something. A burden ain't a burden until you feel the weight of it. Oh, I got a burden for you and you're all... No, no, no. You don't have a burden until you feel the weight of it. And so something entered into his heart. And now Moses' heart... He's thinking like God's thinking. He's seeing what God's seeing. He's hearing what God is hearing, the moaning and the groaning. He's feeling like God. He's acting like God. He's got compassion like God. He's like, what can I do to help them? But for 40 years earlier, we don't see anything. Let me tell you something. Don't ever give up on anybody. Don't ever give up on anybody. Oh, let's clap our hands to that because you don't never give up. You don't know what may enter into their heart sitting on a bar stool. All of a sudden, God hits something in their heart and say, what am I doing here? This is not the way. I got a family at home. I got to have a life. This goes to nowhere. I've got to do something with my life. Don't ever give up on anybody. That mind that was in Christ. It says, let it also be in you. Let me tell you, you're never a Christian until you have the mind of Christ. You can profess to be one, but you're really never one until you have the mind of Christ. And you see a procession going by and a mama weeping over her child and your heart goes out and it's really not your time to do anything and it's really not any of your business, but your heart goes out to that woman and you go over there and stop the procession and raise that child from the dead. Not for any glory of your own, but for a weeping mama. He felt her burden. Moses didn't start out this way, but there came a day that God visited him when he visited his people. And now Moses is going to see something that will change his life. And let me tell you, it's not the burning bush. That's not what changed his life. That was God. Let me tell you something. He'll flee from Pharaoh. He fled from the serpent. But the burning bush drew him. But what changed his life was when something entered into his heart and he looked upon his brethren and saw them different, suffering. And here I am in Pharaoh's house. That's what got to David one day. He built him a nice cedar home. And he's sitting in his home. He says, well, wait a minute. God's in a box and I'm in a house. This isn't right. Let me build God a house. Maybe I need to be the one in the box. Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh and was called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But there came a time when he refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, but for a season. And when that day came, amen, the Lord entered into the heart of Moses, and now he's thinking like God. Who do you want to use to do something for you? Somebody that thinks like you. If I want you to do something for me, Brother Weaver, I want you to think like me. I can say, well, do what I would do. Well, if you don't know me, you'd do what you want to do. But if you really think like me, you'll say, what would Brother Baggett do in this situation? That's what I'm going to do. I want to think like he would think. Exodus 2 and 11 says, when it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out into his brethren and he looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So for 40 years, he didn't really pay them. It didn't seem like much attention. But today, the Lord got a hold of his heart and he's looking at the moaning and the groaning. And now he looks out there, hey, he's beating up one of my brothers. That ain't right. They may have done that for 39 years. He didn't do anything. But now there's something in his heart. It's what went into his heart. That's what I'm preaching this morning. Look now what will come out of his heart. Moses did what was in his heart. Back to Acts 7 and 20, and in which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house for 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him to be her own son. He had every toy, every video game. He had everything he wanted. He had a cell phone and tech. He had everything he wanted in the modern day vernacular. But let me tell you what he didn't have. The Lord was not moving on him until he was 40 years old. I preached a sermon. Moses died at 120. There's three 40s in Moses' life. This is one of them, the first 40. I preached a sermon one time. There's three 40s in everybody's life. You go through these cycles. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Oh, he was smart. He knew Chinese math too, probably. And was mighty in words and deeds. And I imagine those brethren was like, get a load of this. He's telling us what to do. They were probably sick of him, despised him. I'm just guessing. He had all the knowledge of the Egyptians, but he didn't have what he was missing, something in his heart. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart. Don't ever give up. Anybody. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. All of a sudden, he may have visited them before, but today he's going to look on their afflictions. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he did what was in his heart. He defended him. My. Don't anybody come after you. I'll fight for you. Now, I have people talk about me and all that kind of stuff, and that's fine. But I can't do what some other. I'm going to defend you. And you that know me know I will. I'll defend you. Right or wrong? Say, well, they were wrong. Well, okay, we need to restore them. Just because you're wrong doesn't mean I cast you out. It means you need more help. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote that Egyptian. It just came out of him. He just, like, what come over me? It was in his heart. Because what goes in your heart, you can't help what comes out. And he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them. But they understood not. You know, it's a tough thing to fight the people that's trying to help you. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove. Now he sees two of his own brethren. And I would have set them one against one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? You're Pharaoh's son's daughter. You're the daughter, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What do you have any right to tell us what to do? Wilt thou kill me as thou killest the Egyptian yesterday? Oh, my God. He didn't hide it at all, did he? Because you can't hide what's in your heart. Then fled Moses at that saying, and was a stranger in the land of the Midians, where he begat two sons. He goes back, he flees from there. And he goes and he gets him a little job. Just his pop-in-law said, well, son, you know, I really don't have an opening around here, but you tend to these sheep here. He just gave him peanuts to tend to the sheep on the backside of the desert. But while he was on the backside of the desert, the Lord can now talk to his heart. And when he was 40 years old, was expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness, in the Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And rather than fleeing from it, he was drawn to it because what was in his heart. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight and he drew near to behold it. You know, people that really don't want God, they'll run from church. They'll run from you. They'll run from anybody because they're not drawn to it. But people that no man, the Bible says, can come to the Father except the Spirit, what? Draw him. Because you can't draw what's not in somebody's heart. You can put a magnet on this Bible all you want to. There's no metal in here. You've got to have something to draw. And when the Lord puts something in your heart, you'll say, you know what? I think I'm going to go to church this morning. I don't know why, but I hadn't been in years, but... And the Lord is putting something in your heart that he can draw. He came near to behold it, and the voice of the Lord came unto him. My, my, my. You got to get close enough to hear him. Saying, I am the Lord God of thy fathers, of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold, and said unto the Lord... And said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen, oh my God, I have seen, he says it again, I have seen the affliction of my people just like you did. I was waiting for you to see what I've been seeing. And I placed it into your heart to go look on their burdens. And this time, when you saw it, you go, that ain't right. I can't let this go. Because something was in your heart that welled up inside of you that never had for 40 years. Many times you'll see people sit on the pew for years. I remember one person, when we was going to Brother Teresa's church, that guy, I don't know how old he was, sitting on the pew for, I don't know how many, and one night, I think his name was Brother Lucky. One night, I'll never forget, and I was just a kid. He got up, come down like he was drunk, because he was, prayed through to the Holy Ghost, and I guess he lived on, I don't know, to glory. But that night was his night. God put something in his heart, and he yielded to it, and he gave to it. Don't ever give up on people. God didn't give up on you. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning just like you did, and I am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee unto Egypt. God cannot use you till you have the heart of God, because you'll get aggravated and disgusted and you'll quit. And you know, you have to have the heart of God for God to use you. Moses' heart desired the things of God. And can I tell you, it comes natural when God moves into your heart. It's just natural. One of these days, maybe shortly, Melanie, I want you to get me these pictures. I'm going to show you a Barbie doll and a Barbie doll. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm going to show you two Barbie dolls. You get that for me? Acts 7 and 35. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared out of the bush. This same man who they said, are you going to be ruler and judge over us? That same man became a ruler. And God said, even though they accused him of sticking his nose where it didn't belong because they were envious of him and jealous of him, and maybe for a right reason there, he sat up there in the palace while they were being afflicted. But this same one, I'm going to tell you something. Being refused was the best thing that ever happened in my life. Being rejected is the best thing that ever happened in my life. Rejection tells you is where you don't belong. I want to go where I'm accepted of God's people. Now the ones that rejected him will now accept him. And that's why he was so worried when the Lord said, I want to send you. He said, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He didn't say, well, I don't know what Pharaoh's going to say. Now, he was worried about going back, but the Lord said, that Pharaoh's dead. I've already got another one. He's gone. But he was worried what his people would say. God, what will your people say? This is why, because they were angry at him. He said, Lord, who am I going to tell them sent me? Tell them the God of your father sent you. I am that I am. Tell them that that's the one that sent you. And verse 36, and he brought them out. Even though they did that to him, he brought them out. How do you think that man felt that said, who made you ruler? I imagine he said, well, I'm going with Moses. Moses is my man. I tell you, I like Moses. That's a good guy. It's amazing how quick people can change their tune when they find out you're really trying to help them. He brought them out after that he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is that Moses. This is the same guy which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like me. See? Like, but he wasn't like God until something got into his heart. And when that something got into his heart, he could not help it from coming out of his heart. Are you understanding the sermon today? Even Christ, as he walked, he would see people and he'd like, my time is not yet. Now tell no man, because it was in his heart to help him. Can I tell you, I get myself in trouble sometimes because I cross some lines, what they call church lines, you know, helping people. But it's in my heart. And sometimes I have to say, if you're not going to take care of them, I will, because it's in my heart. Like unto me, him shall ye hear. So this morning, as I wind this thing down, whatever you're really drawn to should tell you what's in your heart. If you're drawn to lust and you're drawn to unconducive things to Christian living, that's what's in your heart. And your heart needs to be purged. Every man's heart has to be purged. It has to be cleaned up. Of course, we're all sinners. Your righteousness is filthy rag. You got to take on his righteousness. You'll never get good enough to cast these things out. The only way these things go out is when he comes in. He pushes them out. In the land of promise, he said, well, you just get there, I'll push the enemy out, and then you can move in. The Lord told Samuel as he went to Jesse's house to anoint a king of Israel. He looked at the first one. He said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Why? He was stately. He looked like a king. I'd be proud of him to be my king. Do I look like a king to y'all? I look like a president or anything like that? It doesn't matter what a person looks like. It's what's in their heart. And the Lord scolded Samuel for saying, oh, no, 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 no. He was a prophet. He was a priest. And he said, man looketh upon the appearance, but God looketh at the heart. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God he looks beyond the way we look on the outside and looks down on the inside. And God looks at the heart. And he saw a little shepherd boy that was left out and rejected and refused and had to say to Jesse, he said, would he run him by two times? He said, do you have any more sons? Yeah, I got one more out there in the field. He ain't much, but he said, go get him. And while he was out there in the field slaying bears and lions and singing songs to God, God was saying, that's a man after my own heart right there. That's a man I can use. He thinks like I think. He wants what I want. That's a man I can use. He said, that's the one I want. And the Lord anointed him to be king. And the Bible says that Christ would sit upon the throne of David. My, my, my. Closing with this for the second time. Everyone who professes to be a minister or a child of God needs to be in this thing with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, all my strength, all their strength. Because you said you can't even be his disciples. And you need to look upon the afflictions of others. He said to mourn with those that mourn, weep with those that weep. That's why we have prayer requests. And I'm sorry to hear about Brother Fowler deceasing. I pray for his family. He has children and 47 years old, right? And we should mourn with these kind of things and be part of that, praying for these people. The Bible says that by this shall all men know that you're my disciple. Because you shout, because you play the piano good. But no, because you have love one to another. When you so much as give even one of mine a cold cup of water, you shall in no wise lose your reward. This is the mind of Christ. His mind was not what can I do for myself, but what can I do for you? And when we all have that mindset, we come together with one mind, one accord. Let me tell you, God's in the midst of that. He's into that. But when it's look at me, hear me, watch me, that's he's not into that. And I close with this for the third time. 1 Peter 5:2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. That doesn't mean collecting all the tithes and just paying to help them pay off the bills at the church. Amen. It means oversee everything that the church does. But not by constraint. Paul wrote in another place, he says he loves for you to give a cheerful giver. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, in case you don't know what that is, it's the almighty dollar, but of a ready mind. What can I do for you? How can I help you? Do you need prayer? Amen. And when we work together like that, there's nothing that can stop this church or the kingdom of God. Amen. God bless you this morning. Take a quick break, and we'll be back in a little bit for morning worship.